Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, it's summertime, the weather is just balmy. The last thing, perhaps, you are thinking about is etiquette. But that's what we're going to be talking about today. My very special guest, Judith Bowman, her brand new book, Don't Take the Last Donut, New Rules of Business Etiquette. Judith, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's a great pleasure to be back. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Now, you're the founder of Rhode Island-based Protocol Consultants International.
Yes.
And you've been very much involved with protocol education. You do training, seminars, personal coaching, speaking for all types of firms. And you said that this is so important that you felt you had to write a book about it. And I know you had put out a DVD, because you've been a guest on my show previously.
Yeah.
You've had a DVD, and you put out a regular newsletter, and we'll be giving information to people as to how they can get it,
yeah,
for a number of years, and
yeah,
it's syndicated on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. Judith, I know your background was one where you were trained in your own family environment. And so this aspect of etiquette and understanding it was okay, but how did you get involved with it to the degree that it ended up becoming a business for you? I mean, we only have a few people that I've ever been aware of that are publicly known as etiquette specialists. How did you get involved?
Yes, well, and thank you for the question, Donna. Of course, etiquette refers to rules and boundaries, and we're suggesting that once you're comfortable in knowing what's acceptable versus completely unacceptable, people are more confident to present themselves, if you will, with total confidence and focus on people and topics of business at hand, if that's the case. My own personal background, of course, I had the luxury of being brought up this way with, you set the table this way and serrated edge go in, faces toward you and gentlemen stand and et cetera, et cetera. And so that was really in me. And so when I graduated from Boston College, I got into the world of sales and marketing and would frequently wine and dine clients, prospective clients over the table, of course, where most business is conducted. And I would sit there with someone whose title was X or whose net worth was Y, and I would say to myself, and this person doesn't even know how to hold a fork and knife. And I silently thought to myself, there is a need. And so I quietly did some research, and then not so quietly did some research, and I made cold calls and called those whom I knew and suggesting that if I did start a business teaching, talking about rules and boundaries and etiquette and protocol, if I did this, would you hire me, basically? And, Donna, I had this overwhelming, resounding, yes, we need this. Now, this is back in 1992, 1993, really before all this has become so critical and people are aware of the importance of small ways in which professionals can further distinguish themselves in what is now perhaps the most competitive business climate in history, plus we're global. And so with this research, I had this yes, and so then I thought, well, I need to receive some sort of credential or certification, and at that time there were only two in the country, and I went to one, where I received my protocol certification. Now I'm providing protocol training and certification and train the trainer programs for corporations as well as individuals. However, that's really how it started. And I saw a need and I started teaching the basics of etiquette and dining to children, teens, and young adults. I was very fortunate that what I say sort of tongue-in-cheek must have been a very slow news day that one of our local Boston papers did a a story that was several pages and many photos talking about etiquette expert makes business teaching manners type thing. And the article itself spoke of my own sales and marketing background. And what was really terrific from the, as a direct result of that article, was two Fortune 500 CEOs called me and the general manager of the country club in Brookline, which of course is the oldest country club in the country, basically saying, can you do for our sales and marketing professionals the things that you do for the children? And so I wasn't really truly prepared to go corporate after just after having been in business for 1 year. However, you know, Donna, if anyone ever says, can you do this, you don't say no. You say, okay, and you
Absolutely.
Kind of figure it out, and you go for it. And so I said, okay, and my very first corporate seminar was on national television, and I was very relieved when that was over with. I have not abandoned the children. My forte, my expertise is corporate America, and I work now with many Fortune 500 executives at all levels of the organization and entrepreneurs, people starting up their companies. And so I work with everyone across the board, across various disciplines, whether it's CPAs or lawyers or retail or IT or financial services, consulting services, the educational arena, because we're talking about, again, in the book, Don't Take the Last Donut, New Rules of Business Etiquette, deals with nuances, small ways in which professionals can further distinguish themselves in business in order to compete.
It is so true, and I know that with the exposure that I've had with people from different cultures, there's learning curves you go through, and the more assistance you can have, the better off you are, and you're not going to have those situations of embarrassment that you find out about later when you didn't realize that you should have done this, that, or the other. Of course, we all have learning experiences that will teach us, but how nice it is that we can be aware of protocol. And that's what your book, Don't Take the Last Donut, does. It gives you an inside track on things that you need to be aware of. And where in schools many years ago, it was part of protocol, especially for girls, not necessarily so much for boys, but the girls absolutely had to have certain lessons on etiquette. Today, it is totally obsolete from the scene, and unless families are knowledgeable about this, and this is part of their everyday life, as it was with yours, as it was with mine, mm-hmm. then you don't realize that you are going to be in a situation that's going to require alertness, and we're going to go into that a little bit, because you have a wonderful story in here, in your book, about a young man and how he lost a job opportunity because of that. But let's go first, right to the very first part of your book, Judith.
Yes.
You were talking, you start off, right off the bat, with two consultants. They're both going after the same client.
Yes.
And candidate A, he dressed in khakis, he was dressed a certain way, he did certain things, and then there was the candidate B. Tell us the difference between the two and why one won out over the other.
Yes, well, the reference to the two candidates was refers to really many different aspects here. The key is all, as you suggest, Donna, preparation and awareness. So being aware of the way we're perceived. So to show up in khakis and tasseled loafers and maybe a navy blue blazer, sit down, keep an eye laser focus on business, never get off track, to follow up with a thank you note, maybe a personal call, and again, suggest try and close the deal, point, counterpoint, objection, counter, try and close, which we here in America tend to do, and as a sales professional myself, closing is always our goal. We're suggesting in the book that the nuances in terms of, again, being aware of small ways that can help distinguish us is key. And so the way that you dress, so rather than wearing loafers and khakis and a blazer or a polo shirt, to dress appropriately. So in the book we talk about professional attire, which, by the way, today's fourth generation of work, the workforce, really does not get, if you will. And so we really reinforce, if you want to be recognized and accepted in a professional manner, that you need to dress it. So let's throw off the flip-flops and put on the hosiery and wear the conservative versus loud ties, and quality in investment dressing in order to be taken seriously in business. And so the story in the book suggests the second gentleman arriving in advance at the restaurant for many reasons. One is to select the appropriate table, a table where they would probably prefer privacy rather than being centered in a restaurant, to decide with the waitstaff, whose name they now know, where the person of honor will be sitting. Person of honor is always seated to the right of the host. That's true at the dining room table and the boardroom table. That's biblical. Giving the host or your person of honor the best seat, which includes either the best view or the most comfortable seat in a banquet situation. Next, to review with the server, once again, whose name you know, that even though it might be easier, particularly if you're having multiple individuals at the table as your guest, it may be easier for the server to go to seat number one, seat number two, seat number three, to review with the server in advance the order in which people order. For example, the person of honor always orders first. Ladies at the table always order second. Third, gentlemen, and lastly, always the host. Ordering course for course with your guest. If you and I were to have lunch together, Donna, and you wanted to order the soup and entree and the hot appetizer, and I just felt like a light salad, question, would it be appropriate for me to order course for course with you or watch you eat? And, of course, the answer is order course for course, and as opposed to most of us were taught growing up, play with our food. However, to watch you eat would be inappropriate. So the goal, again, is to make the other person, your guest, the person of honor, feel comfortable to put them at ease. And so what about ordering cocktail for cocktail? You order a glass of wine. I don't drink or I don't feel like a cocktail, particularly at lunch. Question, should I order a cocktail with you so that you're not drinking alone? Answer is no. When it comes to alcohol and alcoholic beverages, the rules don't apply. Many people these days do not drink for many different reasons. And so the answer to that question would be no. Next, in terms of preparation, familiarize yourself with the restaurant. Where are the restrooms? So that you appear knowledgeable. Again, your goal in terms of building trust to grow this relationship is to establish yourself in the control seat. And so in the book, Don't Tank the Last Donut, we talk about the four C's. And the first, aside from establishing yourself and projecting total confidence, is to exude control. So whoever initiates the handshake, initiates the eye contact, the conversation skill, initiates, acquires, and maintains control. Your goal, again, throughout this relationship building process, that's true at the dining room table, breakfast, lunch, or dinner as well. And next, you want to arrange to have the bill taken care of in advance for many reasons, primarily because regardless if it's assumed that you are taking care of this lunch, which you invited me to, for example, the check arrives, Donna, and it's always a bit awkward, yes?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. And so we're suggesting that we eliminate even the most remote possibility of having an awkward moment because, again, our goal is to put the other person at ease and make them feel comfortable as we endeavor to grow the relationship. So we talk about how to do that. We eliminate the bill. So arriving in advance for another reason is to present your credit card to the host, the maitre d', the waitstaff, and say to them, under no circumstances is this bill to be brought to the table. After dessert, after everything is ordered, excuse yourself as the host from the table. No need to say where you're going. And review the bill. Add your 20%, 20% more for greater, less for according to service, and then return to the table. Your server will then return to the table and say, Thank you, something like, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to your return visit. And I, as your guest, am looking at you, Donna, saying, what about the check? Where's the bill? And it's just so amazingly cool. Mm-hmm. It is a very fun thing to do. However, this also does a couple things. One, it establishes you again in the control seat. What else do you, Donna Sebo, take the time, go to the trouble to learn about, to execute, to master, to take care of, to plan for, prepare for in advance? Bottom line, I trust you. Bottom line, I want to do business with you. It all goes, all these little steps, these little nuances speak to, again, earning trust to build the relationship. And so these are just examples. So all of these, so you get back to the office and then writing the personal note, whether it be the email, and you know whether or not I, for example, would prefer email because you will have asked in advance, Judy, how do you prefer correspondence? You know what, Donna? We're all about e here, e culture, e business. So mm-hmm. please feel free to email me. So you would make a note of that in your personal client notes about the client, and then in terms of sending an email thank you note, yes, it would be appropriate. That said, we are suggesting that there's absolutely nothing which will ever quite replace the timeless traditional handwritten thank you note on personal engraved stationery. Nuance, blue ink for social correspondence, black ink for business correspondence. Of course, blue exudes the warmth you're endeavoring to suggest, with a postage stamp versus a postage meter. And that personal thank you note is yet another opportunity, if you will, for you to extend your personal brand and your company brand, because your company brand is something that your company invests heavily in. So it's yet another opportunity for you to have a presence and get your brand across, if you will.
All of those little tiny points of attention to detail in a business environment, I find much of that etiquette protocol also applies to personal interaction with people.
Yes.
And one of the points that you bring up, which is the thank you card, people forget to do that. And I say forget, I really mean they forget to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is in such a rush.
Yeah.
And when you do that, it usually shocks people.
Yes.
They don't care whether it's, many times on a personal level, whether it's a cute card or what. It's the fact that you took the time to write a note.
Exactly.
And put it in the mail to them.
Mm-hmm.
They go, wow.
Yes.
This, it means a lot. And they treasure it. It's amazing. I've gotten feedback from many people throughout the years. How thoughtful. Nobody does this anymore. I hear this repeatedly.
Yes.
So
yes.
It really does make a difference. Now, you have, again, so many good points that you bring out. And the issue of the phone is so important to me. I started out my working life working for a telephone company, and the protocol of good telephone etiquette is so important. And I was on a business call this afternoon with a professional person's office. The staff person that was talking to me was eating while they were on the phone.
Oh,
that drives me nuts, and that's one of my pet peeves.
Mm-hmm.
I've said it to certain people in my family, do not eat when you're on the telephone.
Right.
Don't chew gum. Just be aware.
Mm-hmm.
Do
exactly.
not do it, because the phone picks up every sound.
Yes.
And it's terrible.
Yes.
It's absolutely terrible.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about telephone etiquette. I think it's so important.
Yes, thank you. And I myself actually made my living on the phone for many years. And interestingly, today I'm part of a lot of extensive telephone training for all sorts of sales and marketing professionals at many organizations. And I have to sort of smile to myself when I go in, because I will never forget the training. I was hired as one of 20 or 25 people for a company that many may recognize as the interface group, Comdex, which was at the time the second largest in the world IT information technology computer communications trade show in Las Vegas. You know, it's that big one. And so we were all hired, and our sales and marketing director gave us one training tool and one tip, if you will. He said, if you want to make it in inside sales on the telephone, he said, this is your training. And he gave us all a 3x5 mirror, Donna. And he said one thing. He said, pretend that your reflection is the other person and smile, because you can hear a smile through the wires. And your challenge, your greatest challenge, is making this inanimate object, this telephone, come alive through the wires. And so I took this to heart, and I really used the mirror. Well, Donna, I was within 3 months after being put on the lowliest trade show, which was House World Expo. Everyone else got these sexy Hollywood shows and the travel show, and I was put on the lowliest. I sold the show out after 3 months. I sold it out, and then I was promoted to one of the fairs, the Northeast Computer Fair, the West Coast, all using a mirror and smiling through the wires. The next tip that I kind of figured out was you project much stronger when you stand rather than sit. And the reason is because you can, your diaphragm opens up when you stand. I realize that it's challenging for many people because of the small cubicles, which where I stood myself, and so I might be annoying to some of my nearby neighbors in cubicles. However, it's not that I was insensitive to that. My goal was to sell and to project my very best voice and self forward. And so standing helps. Eliminating the sounds, again, awareness of the preparation, just as with the luncheon. Preparation before this phone call is huge. So you want to turn off your cell phones. If your computer is ringing with a database acknowledgement, turn that off. Eating and even typing, you can hear a keyboard while other people are on the phone. It's so annoying if you are expecting other people or know that other people might casually stop by. Prepare yourself and position yourself in your office, in your cubicle, so that your back is toward them, suggesting by your body language you are not available. Or even go into a private room, if possible, for the sound distractions that we're speaking of. They're huge. It's suggesting to this person on the other end of the phone that something or someone else has interrupted, has invaded the one-on-one time that you've set aside for them. Again, your goal is to make them feel as though they're your most important, your most valued, your most valued client, very special. And you cannot achieve that if you're having interruptions with other people or noises or cell phones or call waiting coming in or any of the above. So preparation is huge.
Email. We are dealing with this almost on a daily basis. You have protocol for email, and some may say, what's the big deal? Why should we be so concerned about email? Mm-hmm. Well, it's fast, it's efficient, but it still is business.
Yes.
And even when you're doing something on a personal level, these little nuances can make a very good impression on people, because how you send your email makes a great deal of difference. Tell us about a few tips here.
Yes, thank you, Donna. The email, as you suggest, is an amazingly, wonderfully efficient form of high technology, which has evolved that even grandmothers and great-grandmothers are using today and to communicate. And so in business, we need to be careful, and I bullet point some common areas, points of interest, to be aware of. For example, the subject line. With spam filters and viruses, as notorious as they are, it's very important that your subject line be a serious subject line in order to, you know, you're a split second away from someone hitting that delete button when you send an email. So make sure your subject line is consistent with the message that you're sending. You also want to, because email, again, is a very efficient, however impersonal, means of communicating, we suggest that you treat an email like a letter and use a greeting and a salutation. So, dear Donna, and sign it anything other than best regards. You know, best regards is sort of like, have a nice day. So we suggest anything else using my best regards or warmest regards or warmest wishes or respectfully yours is one that I prefer, particularly when sending something, a proposal or a letter to someone perhaps for the first or early stage, first time or early stages in a relationship. So a greeting, using a greeting and a salutation. Be careful of bold letters, which we all know by now can be misinterpreted as screaming. There are often issues with emailing going back and forth, just as we do with voice leaving voicemail, tag you it. So we suggest that after probably three emails and there is still no resolution, to communicate the old-fashioned way, either get on the telephone or better yet, get up out of your chair and go over to the office of the person or ask for a meeting to resolve the issue personally. And always do a spell check. There's no reason for misspellings. Always do a spell check. I can't really tell you one time that I remember that I haven't really, that I have, where I have not reread something that I've written and changed a word or a phrase or even corrected a misspelling. So it's a good idea to reread whatever it is you're sending and do a spell check.
I agree. And you have so many other points, Judith. I know we are out of time just about here. I do want to mention again your book, Don't Take the Last Donut. I want to ask you what your website is, so those in my audience who would like to subscribe to your newsletter or find out more about your services for either their business associates or, you know, recommendations you might have relative to teaching kids and members of family to understand more about etiquette and protocol. Where do they go? What is your website?
Yes, thank you, Donna. My website is www.protocol, which is all O's, protocolconsultants, with an S, .com. So that's www.protocolconsultants.com. And we do specialize in programs that do teach, discuss nuances, small ways in which professionals can further distinguish themselves in business. So whether you're in business and you consider yourself seasoned, you're in entering or re-entering the workforce, if you're a student, going through the interviewing phase, all of these nuances will serve you well. Further, we are just beginning a train-the-trainer program for corporations. And so I'm also looking, and we have not made this official yet, but just to put it out there, I'm looking for others of me, if you will, Judy Juniors, to interested in receiving the training and certification and starting their own businesses too, because there is a huge, huge need for the training that we provide. And the book is certainly, in fact, I've been invited to submit something for to use the book as a textbook in one of our state's school districts. So it's really been an exciting, fun sort of introduction to a whole new world, and we're loving it. There's a huge need for this, and I'm very excited to be a part of it. And I am so grateful for your interest and for your good listeners and for their time this afternoon.
Well, thank you, Judith. Don't take the last donut. This isn't about dieting. It is about etiquette. What to do in social and business situations. A must-have for the professional, a must-have for the mom and dad that wants their children to be able to know how to conduct themselves in the proper way. It can even affect college admission, believe it or not. This is Donna Sebo. Judith Bowman, again, has been my guest. Her website is protocolconsultants.com. We're taking a break. Don't you go away. We're going to be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna, and guess what? Phone lines are now open. Yes, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, here are the telephone numbers to call in to. In the U.S., 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And we also have another direct line for everyone else of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. And what will happen if you call in? You say, Donna, this is my first time. What do I do? Well, we're going to show you in just a minute. But all I need from you is your first name or initial and where you're calling from. And that's what we're going to do with this caller right now. Welcome to the show. First name or initial and where are you calling from?
This is Andrea from Indiana.
Andrea, where are you in Indiana?
It's a place called East Chicago.
East Chicago in
right.
Indiana.
Right.
Oh, great. Well, Andrea, you are a woman that's not letting any moss grow under your feet. I think that's pretty much the story of your life. But you know what, my dear? I'm perceiving a tiredness. I am perceiving a weariness. It's as if I'm sensing you've been on a long road, you've carried a heavy load, you're taking the time right now just because you're really at a low ebb, and you're letting the load go, and you're saying, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to carry this load. I'm really going to have to make a decision as to whether or not I am going to continue this, or if I'm going to ask for help. You actually have another option. You can totally leave the load behind, but there's a strong sense of responsibility associated with this baggage, if you will. So what I am looking at is that you need some downtime. You really need to be able to take advantage of what I feel is the rest. You need to be able to analyze what's around you, what's going on, and what really needs to be changed. Not just talking about it, but really having integrity with yourself. I think you also need to take care of yourself physically. I don't know that you have super colossal problems right now, but it's as if the body is feeling bloated. It is almost at the point of screaming to you via symptoms, lighten up, change some things, I'm hurting. So there's a lot going on with you, and I think it's good that you've come to this positioning of putting the load down for a while, and you do need to make the assessment. And my suggestion would be, if you need to ask for help, ask for help. You don't have to play a martyr. The only martyrs I ever known of are dead. You read about them. They're not alive and contributing to life. So I want you to recognize you don't have to go through unnecessary pain and suffering. This is not a requirement. But it is going to take your conscious attention and application to what needs to be done. And so this is a level of personal, insightful responsibility that you need to give to yourself. And this is a wonderful gift for you to give to yourself. But you must do it. Nobody else can do it for you. You need help, ask for it. But don't try to do things the way you've been doing them in some respects, because it's not working. What question do you have for me?
Well, many things you're saying are really correct. I'm making a big change in my life. I finally got a job after being unemployed for a while, and but I've got to wait for it to come to fruition because it's run by a grant, and it's not done yet. But anyway, I'm just wondering, is my financial outlook improving at all? Because it's been such a lousy one, but... I've changed a lot of thinking about my how to get money, you know, how I feel about it. So is it looking any better?
Your financial picture is going to very much improve. And actually, it can improve within the next 4 weeks. Oh. I feel that though you're waiting for this one positioning to come in because of a grant, you need to be out doing something. I don't care if you're making $5 an hour. That's not the issue. You need to be productively employed in some job and taking pride in doing whatever it is you're doing, whether it's washing dishes, waiting tables, talking on the phone, doing sales. The change must occur within you, and action is what is going to produce the result. In working with money, money is something that we use as a measurement. It is a form of exchange. In some cultures, they didn't have money. They used cows, chickens, pigeons, whatever happened to be handy. Some of them even used great big stones. What we have to understand is that with money, it is going to give you the freedom that you want. So learning how to manage it is very, very important. And I think as you become educated about saving and being religiously attentive to utilizing money efficiently and well, and not having an attitude of, oh my goodness, I'm so poor, I have nothing, you really have a lot to be grateful for. And I think that this is part of what you're having to go through. This is why I'm seeing you by the side of the road, just sitting and putting your burden down, but really making an assessment about what it is that needs to be done. Because only you can make the choices for yourself. Nobody else can do that for you. They can give you suggestions, but it's up to you. What kind of work have you done in the past?
A lot of it has been with disabled or mentally disabled people, creating programs for them. It's social service, pretty much. And then a lot after that, a lot of administrative work, office work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you had your druthers, what would you really like to do?
Well, I'd like to go back to helping people. I was thinking in terms of energy psychology, the energy therapy type of molds, emotional freedom technique, and things of that nature, because I'm pretty good at using it on myself, and it's sort of second nature for me.
So, well, I would encourage you to link up with someone that is involved in that kind of work. Talk to them. Ask them for their recommendation. Remember I said, ask for help if you need it?
Right.
Don't second guess. If you know of people involved in that modality, then go for it. Talk to them. Volunteer to work with them. But be active in some level of it, so that you can be sure that this is really where you want to be.
Okay.
Just helping people. I mean, you can help people by just giving them a smile every day. There's so many different ways you can help people. There's a gazillion of them. So what you need to do is maybe instead of just saying helping people, it's how can I best use my skills and ability so that I have joy in what I do, and I feel fulfilled in what I do, and then that just spills over to everybody I interact with.
Right.
It's just a little shift of thinking. Helping people is wonderful, But you need to be sure that you help yourself first. That sounds crass, but it's true. Because you cannot really empower anyone else unless you empower yourself first. And you lead by example.
I agree.
And you're learning to do that. But, hon, you've carried such a heavy burden for so long.
Yeah.
Use this time well.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Well, you're more than welcome. And I'm so delighted you called in today.
Thank you. Well, you have a nice evening.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye.
This is Donna Sebo, and that's how simple it is. All you need to do is give me a call, just like Andrea did from East Chicago, Indiana. Wherever you're calling from, you're more than welcome to give me a buzz. I'm happy to light up your life with a little bit of insight. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. Oh, it's getting so close. Yes, the Renaissance Fantasy Fair right here in the state of Washington. This event I've been participating in for a number of years, and it is so much fun. Earlier today, I was telling people about the wonderful activities that go on at this tremendously exciting event. We've got one weekend left, and it is at the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor. We were talking with people this past weekend who had come from England, people from Australia, and it was so much fun because the Australians said, "This is the craziest group of people I've ever seen." But he said, "We are having the time of our lives." And it is just absolutely delightful. You'll see families that come in, and because they've been to the Renaissance before, they themselves have decided to wear costumes. And what people will do with imagination, fabric, various materials, it is incredible. But this is a stepping back in time. You walk through the castle gates. This is an area of wide open land, trees, all kinds of natural environment that just suits the mood for the Renaissance Fantasy Fair. The gates open at 10 a.m. and close at 6 p.m., and you just don't know what you're going to encounter. At the magical bridge, you might encounter a talking tree. And I had the chance to have a nice conversation with that talking tree, and it is just amazing what people are able to do. And we are all in costume, and I hope you'll come by on Main Street and look for my booth. I have the bright golden banners with the huge red lions, and that is where I am situated. And you can come in, say hello. I've met so many of you, and it has been such a joy and wonderful, wonderful experience to be able to chat with you about the programming, etc. And I'm always interested in meeting you and just having a chance to communicate one-on-one, which we don't have very much of an opportunity to do. So this is the last weekend, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. You must come. It is absolutely wonderful. And I'm going to be there with my new costume, and you'll be able to, again, see all of the fabulous players that participate in this. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. 877-876-5227 in the U.S. Canadians, 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. Oh, and for those of you in the Northern California area, I am going to be doing an appearance on September on the 14th and 15th, and next week I'll have more specific details to give to you. They will also be listed in my email newsletter, which will be going out the 1st of September. And then for those of you up in Alaska, I'm going to be appearing there in October, and there's some other things that are perhaps floating around that may come about, and I'll be sure to let you know where I'm going to be appearing. And again, in my newsletter and in my calendar on my website, you will be able to find out more information as it becomes available as to what you can be able to attend in the way of events or activities. And, of course, if you need to contact me directly, you can always call my office at 800-872-8852. I do private counseling as well as give you any information about any of the appearances, et cetera, that you would like to know about. Well, there are so many things out in the news. And here it is, summertime, we're active, but we still can get pretty low on energy, even though the sun's out. Sometimes it's because we're overdoing on a lot of things that normally we don't do during the rest of the year because the weather isn't suitable for it. Well, a very good thing to do during the summer to make sure that you get a good energy boost in the morning. You can do like we do. We get up and we walk two Scottish Terriers for an hour, going over 2 miles every day, and that gets your energy up and roaring. But also, don't forget to hydrate. Don't forget to drink your water. Drinking two glasses of water first thing in the morning really is good, especially if you're going to be doing any kind of a workout. And if you're a morning person like I am, that is something you need to keep in mind. Also, if you want to give yourself an energy boost, and you can do this any time during the day, rub your ears. Yes, it's. I know. There's those Star Trek characters that you rub their ears, and it's a real sensual thing. Well, it can be that, too. But we're talking about increasing your energy. So what you do is take your thumb and your first finger, and you squeeze up and down your earlobes for about 20 seconds. That is acupressure. And that helps to give you a boost. And don't be afraid to take breaks more often. If you're a person that works out of the home and you have a tendency to sit at the computer for hours and hours and hours, not a good thing. I can't sit that long, but I have a member of my family could sit for 6 to 8 hours and never get out of their chair, and they wonder why their legs are uncomfortable. Makes you wonder. Anyway, get up and take a break. It's good for your eyes. And if you look out a window, if you're working on the computer a lot, take a break. If you don't have a window you can look out of, get up, stretch, have a beautiful photograph, a painting, or something that your eyes can go to that have a lot of green in it, has a lot of green in it, and that will give a respite to your eyes. But getting up, taking a break, having a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, maybe a little tiny snack, but you've got to move. That'll also increase your energy. Now, there are some herbs that they found that really can do a good job. Peppermint, eucalyptus, rosemary, even basil. Those are four that you can use that when you smell them, or if you have like dry spices, if you just went and rubbed it through your hands, you'll find that it does wonderful things for you. Yawning. You see people yawning. You often want to know why they're yawning. Sometimes it's because they're bored, but more often than not, it's because they're not getting enough oxygen. So get up, move, stretch, take some deep breaths. It will really make you feel good. Now, here's something for instant energy. This is a breathing technique. You can sit in a chair. You inhale as deeply as possible through your nose, and then you exhale slowly and completely, drawing your navel into your spine. Next, inhale, and then take about 15 short, puffing exhales. And then after that, you end it with another deep, long inhale and exhale, and you do this 3 times, and boom, you should have that energy boost that you need. This is Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break. Don't you go away. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and here's a telephone number to call in to if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227 in the U.S. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Also 530-876-3222. Oh, I came across a wacky cake recipe, and I thought I had to share it with you because it sounds like so much fun. And if you have kids, this is a neat way to help little ones do some counting, and it's so much fun, and they could even do it themselves. But get yourself a pad of paper and a pen so that you can write this down, because it is so very, very simple. Now, if you're a person that's diabetic, we're going to have an option in this cake in the sugar content that you can choose to do, and it's going to be so comfortable for you. But it's called a wacky cake. And for a little kid, it's a fun counting game that you can do that they can really enjoy. Okay, this is the recipe as it goes. It's 1.5 cups of all-purpose flour, 1.5 cups of all-purpose flour. And then you need 1/2 cup of sugar, 1/2 cup of sugar, 1/2 cup of sucralose. Now, that's Splenda. That's what it is. So if you wanted a sugar substitute, if you don't want to use sugar substitute, then just use 1 cup of sugar. That's all it is. But if you want to cut down the sugar in the recipe, then you use 1/2 cup measure for measure of the Splenda. Then 3 tablespoons of cocoa, 3 tablespoons of cocoa, and use good cocoa. It will make all the difference in the world. 1 teaspoon of soda, 1 teaspoon of soda, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 tablespoon of vinegar, 1 tablespoon of vinegar, and that would be white vinegar. 3 tablespoons of oil, 3 tablespoons of oil, 3 tablespoons of unsweetened applesauce, 3 tablespoons of unsweetened applesauce, and I would suggest that you measure out some applesauce. Maybe put 1/2 cup in a mesh strainer and let the moisture go out of it so that it will be denser. You won't have as much water. That's just a Donna suggestion. And then take your 3 tablespoon measurement of the unsweetened applesauce from that which has had a chance to drain a lot of the water out. 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 1 cup of water, 1 cup of water. Now, what you do, your flour, your sugar, your cocoa, your Splenda, your soda, and salt, you just mix them all together and put them into an 8 by 8 inch baking pan. And then, if you've got kids, you can take and poke 4 holes in the dry ingredients. Just put 4 holes there. Into the first hole, put the vinegar. Into the second hole, put the oil. Into the third hole, put the applesauce. Into the fourth hole, put the vanilla. And then you pour the water over the entire batch and mix it thoroughly with a fork. Bake it at 350 degrees for 25 minutes or until the toothpick comes out clean. Again, this is why they call it a wacky cake. And for kids, this is just a lot of fun. Real simple, real easy. And you can frost it if you want. A little bit of confectionery sugar on the top would be just fine. But it is something, again, for kids especially. It's just a lot of fun. Donna Sebo here. I know that we are out of time. Don't forget the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. We have just 3 days, 3 more days before it's going to be the last Saturday and Sunday of this wonderful event at the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor. And the hours are from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Go look up their website, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. It's an event of the year that is absolutely spectacular, and I just am so thrilled to be participating in it, and I've met so many of you, and it's just been a delight. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a great one. Wow. You're a light you don't ever want to turn off. Have a good one. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
I want to hear some music. God, I have so many great albums. I love my albums. Here's an album. God.
I guess in me you found the perfect rebound. Did it make you feel better? Finally treated right with a loving out of sight. Nobody made you wetter. All the crazy nights and all the little lies you told them so that we could be. I guess I should have seen your lies would end up being told to me eventually. When you look into the you've done to me. All these gifts that you pay will come back and haunt you someday. Let me introduce you to a little thing called the truth. Like everybody else, I fell under your spell. I let you get into my soul. When doubts would fill my head, you'd lure me into bed, where you knew you had control. Unless you're all alone, you won't pick up the phone. I guess that should have been a clue. Now a certain other guy won't look me in the eye. How dumb was I for trusting you?